Let us pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we do come to you in this hour of prayer, and we seek your face, O God, for the light and truth of your word to be given to us. We know that even as you have called us to worship, you have called us to hear your word in its preaching and in its reading, to hear it with believing hearts, to hear it with listening ears, to hear it, O God, in faith, and to walk and live and think in light of what it is you say to us, so that that may come to pass according to your blessing, even as you have ordained this word as a means of grace. Would you bless it as it is preached, as it is read, as it is heard and understood, that indeed, O Lord, you may use it as a tool to mold and to shape and to conform us by your grace and mercy, that we may leave from this sanctuary having fed upon your word, having heard of your tender mercy given to us in Jesus Christ, and thereby, O Lord, be filled with gladness of heart, with joy and thanksgiving and gratitude, and be equipped, O Lord, with boldness, according to the truth of that word, to live before you, to honor you with our whole lives, and to commit ourselves humbly and with confidence into your hands. So hear us, we ask and pray these things, and answer our prayer, we do pray, for we call upon you in Jesus' name, the one who loved us and has given himself for us. Amen. We're going to turn to Psalm 95 first for the reading before we look at our passage in Psalm 23. Psalm 95, we'll read there only the first seven verses. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. This is a passage we've heard before in its preaching during our time together. And so we read it now before we come to Psalm 23. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his land and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And so we turn then to Psalm 23. We'll read the entire psalm, all six verses, but our preaching passage is only going to be verse 2 and then the first line of verse 3. Those three lines, verse 2 and the first line of verse 3, will be our preaching passage, our text for the sermon, but we'll read all six verses of Psalm 23. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beloved congregation, we saw last week in our look at Psalm 23, verse 1, that the Scripture teaches each one of us to confess in faith, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, as we continue to look at Psalm 23 this morning, we have yet more instruction given to us by Scripture in terms of when it comes especially to what it would have us to learn and to know and to confess. Because in the passage before us, verse 2 and the first part of verse 3 here in Psalm 23, each one of us is taught to say about the Lord our Shepherd, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. All of those things, as they're laid out before us in this psalm, in keeping with the picture that David sets before our eyes, those are the kind of things that a real shepherd would provide for his sheep. Hence, they point us to the way in which our good shepherd, even Jesus Christ, provides us with the heavenly and spiritual reality that is here signified in the earthly picture that is painted for us with these words. And all of these things, congregation, brothers and sisters in Christ, all of these things are what we must know to be our present possession only by the grace of God, which is freely given to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. The real beauty of Psalm 23, beloved, is that it doesn't simply describe the care and keeping which the Lord provides for us as a flock of sheep who are in His hand. Although that care and keeping is rich and wonderful, it's sweet music in our ears and it is a word of encouragement to our hearts. But the real beauty of Psalm 23 is that it calls upon us to confess in faith that these things are ours personally and individually, not just as a flock, but as individual sheep, as those who belong by name unto our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who is our shepherd. And of course, therefore, it's only the true believer who can confess the words of Psalm 23 in faith. The hypocrite, he owns not the words of Psalm 23. Those who have not turned to God with a sincere heart are not able, really and truly, to confess these words from the heart. They may be able to say them with the mouth, but not from the heart. And that much should go without saying. It's worth mentioning. I don't imagine it's anything new. But the reminder that these words are for believers. These words are for all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, all who know Him as Lord and Savior, who are His sheep, who hear His voice, and who follow Him in faith. Even so, congregation, may they belong to you and to every one of us. As we continue our study of Psalm 23, then, we keep this theme before us. You can see it here in the order of worship, italicized. My shepherd provides me with rest, refreshment, and renewal. My shepherd provides me with rest, refreshment, and renewal. And this is done as He makes me to lie down in green pastures, as He leads me beside the still waters, and as He restores my soul. Now, as our passage opens up, the way in which we're taught to confess that our shepherd provides us with rest is by being taught to say, according to the passage, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Right there at the beginning of verse 2. And so in light of those words, every one of us is taught to say with confidence, my shepherd provides me with rest. Because that's what the picture of sheep being made to lie down in green pastures signifies. A shepherd leads his sheep, and the flock follows faithfully, trusting the shepherd to give them what they need, to care for them, Because without the guidance that He provides, they would certainly be lost. The morning hours have passed by, and the heat of midday is about to dawn upon this little flock. The sun is almost directly overhead. In no time at all, it will be high noon. And for the next 2 or 3 hours, the hottest part of the day will be on open display. The brightness and brilliance of the sun will be second only to its scorching heat. And having made their way through the rugged hills of the local countryside, the flock is led by the shepherd down into a verdant valley. The long grass waves in the wind as though it were a green sea. And amidst this grass, which nearly comes up to the shepherd's knees, the sheep will find shelter from the sweltering heat. The sheep don't worry about the sun's rays. They don't worry about the sun's rays because the shepherd has led them to this valley of rest. And with a word from his mouth, coupled with a gesture from his hand, the sheep are made to lie down in the green grass, which will then keep them cool and provide them with rest. That's a bit of the picture that David sets before our eyes, congregation. And although he's using references that pertain to the life of ordinary, common sheep and the kind of care that they receive from their shepherd, David's design is to teach us about the way in which the Lord provides rest for us, even for each one of us. Are you not more valuable than sheep? Certainly you are. Therefore, if God provides for the needs of these animals through the hand of their earthly shepherd, will He not all the more abundantly provide for your needs through the hand of His Son, even Jesus Christ, our heavenly shepherd? Certainly He will. All of us walk through the heat of the day as we make our way through life. All of us know what it's like to have grown weary from the journey of walking in this world. The sun of affliction threatens to sap us of our strength and to make us give up in the fight. And the brightness of adversity threatens to cause us to close our eyes and to walk in darkness. And yet, here we are. Here we are, still numbered among the flock of God's sheep, still receiving strength according to His grace, still walking in the light of His Word, still enjoying the rest that He so richly provides us with, still even anticipating the infinitely more wonderful rest that He has in store for us in eternity. The rest that is signified by the beginning of verse 2 with the picture of a shepherd making us to lie down in green pastures. It's not just rest for our bodies, but it's rest for our souls. It's spiritual rest, brothers and sisters, that these words teach us about. It's rest that we receive as we are made to lie down in the green pastures of His Word. Because where else do we, as the Lord's sheep, where else do we find pleasant pastures if not in the Word? Where else do we hear His precious promises that shield us from the wiles of the wicked one if not in His Word? Where else do we learn of the rest, even the rest of forgiveness for our sins through Jesus Christ, that is graciously granted unto us in spite of the curse and punishment that we deserve, if not in the Word? And the answer to those questions, of course, is nowhere else. Only in and through His Word does God speak to us of those beautiful things. Only in the sacred Scripture does His hand come to us. And it beckons to us and gestures to us and it makes us to receive the rest that He so plentifully provides. Therefore, congregation, even as sheep, real sheep, are made by their shepherd to lie down in the tall grass of a green pasture in order to protect them from the heat of the day and to provide them with coolness and rest, even so, when the burning brightness of the heat of the day seems poised and ready to strike you down, it's to the Word which you ought to turn in order to find coolness and rest that you so desperately need. After all, the things which have been revealed unto us by our gracious good Shepherd are for us, are they not? It is written, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And again, it says, the Lord God is a sun and shield. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And again, the Scripture says to us, even God's own voice, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In all of those places, and in many more besides them, the green grass of His rich pastures provides us with shade from the heat of walking in this world. So make use of the Word, brothers and sisters. God has given it to you. Meditate upon it. Be like the man of Psalm 1 who meditates upon God's law day and night. Hide it in your heart and thereby receive the rest which God gives to you through His wonderful Word. As our passage continues, the way in which we're taught to confess that our Good Shepherd provides us with refreshment is by saying what it teaches us to say there at the end of verse 2. He leads me beside the still waters. And in light of those words, each one of us is taught to confess with confidence, my shepherd provides me with refreshment. Because that's what the picture of sheep being led alongside or beside still waters signifies. Refreshment for the flock as a whole, but refreshment also for the sheep individually. Because after having spent the midday hours seeking shade from the sun in the green pastures that the shepherd provides for his sheep, the flock is then ready to move out from the valley as the afternoon passes. A few more hours of following their shepherd are on the agenda for the day. And after that, darkness will fall upon the land, and the sheep will settle in for sleep for the night. First, though, before that happens, the shepherd needs to lead his sheep to a watering hole. Because although they were hidden in the green grass during the hot part of the day, yet they had nothing to drink. Without water, sheep cannot live. Without water, sheep cannot survive. Without water, sheep cannot be refreshed. The shepherd stands tall among his sheep. He moves to the front of the flock and summons them to follow his lead. And a short journey later, the flock finds themselves alongside of a deep pool of cool, clean, crisp water. The stream that widens out in front of the sheep has its origins in the mountains way off in the distance. And although it flows forth with a current, as the water settles into the valley, it makes little noise as it pools up in this particular place. The sheep like the still waters. They much prefer them to the babbling parts of the brook or to a noisy waterfall. In fact, the shepherd knows that. He knows that the sheep like quiet waters instead of babbling waters or a waterfall. And since he knows that about them, since he knows his sheep, the shepherd gives the sheep, in leading them beside the still waters, not just what they want, but he gives them what they need. He leads them beside the still waters because there they are able to find the refreshment that He freely provides for them. That's more of the picture that David sets before our eyes, congregation. A scene where the sheep are led to the waters of life. Waters which revitalize their weary bodies. Waters which quench their tremendous thirst. Waters which moisten their mouths, which wash away their parched throats, and which are refreshingly refreshing. Cool, clean, crisp waters. The shepherd turns to his sheep and he says, "Drink deeply, my sheep. I have brought you to the still waters. I have provided you with refreshment." And from time to time, and maybe more often than that, all of us find ourselves on the verge of fainting, do we not? Fatigue is a major factor that all of us face. And not just physical fatigue, mind you, although that is something against which we contend, but spiritual fatigue, emotional fatigue, internal fatigue. And having borne the heat of the day, according to the word of grace that God speaks to us, the still waters that He leads us beside are the waters of the gospel promise that are there for us to drink. And by the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit, that promise provides us with refreshment. Because once the midday heat is passed by, the still waters and the shade in which they are enjoyed are especially refreshing. And so if you find yourself weary and heavy laden, although you know yourself to be supported and strengthened by the rest that God provides, as you find yourself weary and heavy laden, it's then that the voice of your shepherd, even the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, enters not only into your ears, but into your hearts. And you hear Him saying, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. And in that moment, upon hearing the precious word of grace, spiritual refreshment is provided for us by our good shepherd. He says to us in the gospel, "Come, let him who thirsts come. Let him take the water of life freely." He says unto us, His sheep, "I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." And again, He says, "Whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst." The water I shall give him, says our shepherd, will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. In leading us to the still waters of the gospel promise, our good shepherd provides us with that He alone can give. No one else can lead you beside the still waters, congregation. Not me. Not your spouse. Only Christ can do that. Sure, He can use human instruments to do that. As the word is preached faithfully, as a husband and wife encourage one another, as parents lead their children. But the still waters beside which we are led as sheep is something He alone can provide for us. And having made us to lie down in the verdant valley of rest, which He has won for us, and which He has sealed to our hearts by His Holy Spirit, He now leads us by the hand to waters of life. And He enjoins us to satisfy our thirst and our longing according to the riches of the gospel and the promise He makes to us in it. So hear that word of promise, congregation. Hear that gospel and good news in faith. Hear it with a believing heart. Hear it and confess these words: "My shepherd provides me with refreshment." Because that is what they teach us, and that is what God would have us to know and to believe. Now, as we come to the end of our passage here, at the beginning of verse 3, the way in which we're taught to confess that our shepherd provides us with renewal is by being taught to say, He restores my soul. And so each one of us is taught to say with confidence, My shepherd provides me with renewal, with rest, with refreshment, and with renewal. Having been watered, cooled, and refreshed, the sheep follow their shepherd onward as he continues to provide for them. Only a little more travel is on the schedule for the day. The flock is led through the valley, over to the other side, up the incline of the hills, and to an open plateau. It's there that they'll spend the night. The shepherd actually has a pen for his sheep on top of that plateau. And with a command of his voice, along with the help of his sheepdogs, of course, the shepherd leads the flock into the pen, and he himself closes the gate, not until the last one of them passes safely through. As they do, as they pass in front of him and make their way into the pen, the shepherd takes time to look them over. He removes any burrs or other debris that have been caught in their wool. He cares for any wounds that need tending. He does a basic check of their general health and well-being, and then he prepares himself for a night of watchfulness and vigilance, because he knows that although his sheep need rest for the night, the wild animals that threaten and harass the sheep will not rest during the darkness. Because of the vigilance of the shepherd, the sheep are safe and secure because he is in their midst. That's the picture that David sets before our eyes, beloved. It's a scene where the end of the day has arrived for the sheep. It's not the last day that the sheep will ever have, but it's the end of this day. And just as rest and refreshment were given to the sheep by their shepherd throughout the course of the day, even so, renewal is given to the sheep by the shepherd. And so from start to finish, and all along the way in between, the constant care of the shepherd toward his sheep is on open display. And the sheep, they know, they recognize, and they receive their shepherd's care. Because the sheep find their shepherd to be faithful and true. They find him to be patient and kind. They find him to be gracious and compassionate. And how could they find him any other way? He provides them with every good thing and with whatever they need. When David confesses about the Lord, He restores my soul. He's speaking, of course, as a man and not as a sheep. Because sheep, in a manner of speaking, are renewed by their shepherd, but they have no soul like a man does. They experience no spiritual renewal, the way David writes here at the beginning of verse 3. The way the Lord ministers to us. The figure then that David employs of a shepherd restoring his sheep is then raised to a new level as David not only applies it to himself, but as he teaches us to own it for ourselves likewise. For us to say, He restores my soul, is for us to say, all that I am or ever will be is according to the grace of God. For us to say, He restores my soul, it's for us to say, my whole self and life and being is cleansed, purified, and made new according to God's tender mercy given to me. For us to say, He restores my soul, is for us to confess, along with another part of Scripture, that I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. Such a wonderful work of renewal is ours by grace alone, congregation. Christ has led us into the sheepfold. He Himself is the door through whom we have passed and been brought. And as God has humbled us, convicting us of our sin, granting us grace, not only to confess that sin, but to repent of it and to turn away from it, so too, as He has done that for us, and in measure continues to do that among us, so too does He continue to work graciously in our hearts according to this work of renewal. He keeps us and cares for us each day, every day, and throughout the days of our lives. He enables us to follow Him even though we do so imperfectly. He sanctifies us by His Holy Spirit. He causes His fruit to be born in our lives. In restoring our soul, our Good Shepherd removes the dross of indwelling sin as He purifies us by means of fiery trials. As we follow His leading through this life, we can look to Him, face threat or danger. We can look to Him for strength to be given in times of weakness. We can look to Him to keep us and to watch over us. Remember, as those who are under His watchful eye, we are never out of His sight. Behold, He who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Therefore, in confessing, He restores my soul, we confess not only that the Lord our Shepherd has brought us to Himself, whereas otherwise we would have wandered astray, we do confess that He has turned us to Himself, but we confess too that having brought us under His guidance and direction, having made us His very own, He will also continue to keep us close to Himself. He will renew us and restore us, even in times of waywardness and backsliding, if we truly are His sheep. He will continue to give us rest, refreshment, and renewal. And He will always give us good cause to glorify His holy name, to offer ourselves wholeheartedly into His service with thankful hearts, as we are assured of His love, of His compassion, of His tender hand which is always with us, and which has reached out and graciously not only turned us to Himself, but renewed us inwardly and given us spiritual strength. Our Good Shepherd restores our soul, congregation. Let your love for Him, therefore, be all the more fervent. Such a work of grace as has been wrought in our lives is certainly worthy of praise. How can we do anything else in response to the mercy that He has made known to us? How can we but call upon Him with thanksgiving in light of all that He has done? My Shepherd provides me with rest, with refreshment, and with renewal. Let those words taken from Psalm 23 be yours. Hide them in your heart. Confess them in faith and walk and live in light of them. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. Therefore, as it is written, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Amen.